Welcome back to Honda Garage. I'm your host, as usual, Frankie Campbell. And with me, as always,
Jeremy David King.
Jeremy, how are you today?
I'm living the dream.
It's a big day for us.
Yes, it is.
We are covering Lemp Mansion.
We've been studying Lemp Mansion for a decade.
10 years, which makes us beyond experts, right? Because they say that if you study a subject for 5 years, you become an expert in it.
So we're super experts.
We're also alive. So we are the foremost authorities on the Lemp Mansion. Now, there are plenty of writers in St. Louis. There are plenty of people that have done a couple little articles here and there. But we've actually made this our body of work. We have a documentary coming out this year that focuses on Elsa Lemp. And if you're tuning in to find out all about that, we're not going to touch Elsa Lemp.
Not really.
We're not talking about Elsa Lemp. We're not talking about that case at all. What we're talking about is redefining the Lemp Mansion and understanding the actual family. We are sick and tired of the accepted truth. We are sick and tired of little ghost hunters with their little stupid tours going around town talking about Hell's Portal in the solarium of the Lemp Mansion. These things don't exist. And we're going to understand, you're going to understand, we're going to explain to you the history of haunted houses, how we got our own haunted house here in St. Louis, which is the Lemp Mansion.
Yes.
We're not denying that this place is creepy and spooky and possibly haunted.
I mean, I've had experiences there more than once.
The Lemp Mansion is definitely haunted.
100%.
But by who?
That's correct.
And that's what we're going to try to find out on this episode. So stay tuned, sit back, relax. We're going to go through a litany of the history of haunted houses and how Lemp ended up where it is today. Lemp Mansion was once listed as one of the most haunted places in America. Life magazine listed it in the top 10. The most frequently asked question is it haunted though? The short answer is yes, and the long answer is also yes, but by whom? To answer this correctly without conjecture, we must follow the facts, the true history, and the bridge between the truth and the accepted truth. Since the Pointers took ownership of the mansion decades ago, the legend of Lemp has continued to grow. As Lemp historians, we must ensure that false information does not taint their family name. The Lemp Mansion is an eerie place, and the history of the suicides is indeed accurate, casting a heavy shadow on the mansion's legacy. Once a thriving brewery in St. Louis, it is now primarily associated with the tragic deaths of its former owners. We believe it's important to remember them for how they lived, rather than just how they died. In this series, we will cover the Lemp family history, the suicides, the alleged hauntings, and the space between what is known and what is believed. Join us as we present the true history of the Lemp Mansion. The real hauntings do not come from ghosts, but from numerous TV personalities, sensationalized ghost tour guides, and dime store novelists trying to profit from the tragedy of a successful immigrant American family that experienced both success and sorrow. But should we capitalize on this sorrow, or move beyond the veil to uncover the authentic haunts that embody the Lemp Mansion today? I'm Frankie, host of Haunted Garage, and with me as always,
Jeremy David King.
We are pleased that you are here. If you have been listening to the show, you should be feeling quite comfortable with the different hauntings, the equipment used, and some of the crazy cases that we have described. So is it haunted? It depends on what your definition of haunting is. The history of haunted houses is a relatively new concept. Haunted houses were only widely recognized once Walt Disney popularized them. Haunted houses are rarely mentioned in literature, with some notable exceptions, such as Sir Walter Scott and his Monster of Glamis. I mention this because we will revisit one of the haunts at the Lemp Mansion later. Let's delve deeper into the world's fascination with haunted houses, however. The origin of the haunted house dates back to the 19th century London, when a series of illusions and attractions introduced the public to new forms of gruesome entertainment. In 1802, Marie Tussaud scandalized British audiences by exhibiting wax sculptures of decapitated French figures, including King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette. But haunted houses date back even further than you might expect. The Egyptians knew the best way to keep body snatchers away from a pyramid was to scare them. Curses, moving walls, traps, and snakes, and insects were all commonplace for Egyptians. But we can go one step further. The Greeks and Romans also unknowingly paved the way for haunted attractions by pioneering several theatrical devices that would evolve in spooky elements used in haunts today, such as fog machines. During the Dark Ages, Christians influenced the development of the haunted house by staging plays from the Bible to frighten people into righteousness. This contributed to the evolution of our favorite holiday, Halloween. As Europeans converted to Christianity, they brought along pagan practices such as carving pumpkins and bobbing for apples. During the Renaissance, special effects became increasingly popular. Demons, ghosts, and devils and monsters were also included in William Shakespeare's play. Growing interest in spirituality during the 1800s led to the emergence of paranormal mediums and fortune tellers. Clairvoyants gained celebrity status and were paid top dollar. That is until Harry Houdini aimed to discredit their practices and debunked many famous spiritualists. The 1900s introduced us to freak shows from the circus. The first recorded haunted attraction was the Orton and Spooner Ghost House, which opened in 1950 in the United Kingdom as part of the Edwardian Fair. At this time, the Grand Guignol in France was scaring audiences nightly with its graphically staged horror entertainment. From this point on, Walt Disney popularized the haunted house by introducing the Haunted Mansion to the United States of America. This is just a summary of the many haunted houses and the origins of the topic. The love for being scared and the fascination with otherworldly entities making contact is not new to American history. Today, the horror entertainment business generates around 300 to 500 million sales annually. For the past 3 years, Halloween has outperformed Christmas in decorating. The link to the Lent Mansion is evident. Nowadays, asserting that a location is haunted can significantly impact its worth. The real estate market shows this belief in cities renowned for their haunted past, like New Orleans. For example, for sale signs may specify whether a property is rumored to be haunted. The demand for sensational and exaggerated ghost stories continues to grow in the tourism market. The Lent Mansion is no exception. Over the past 10 years, the Shift Films team has been conducting an exhaustive search to uncover the truth behind these stories. The macabre merchandise being sold based on a person's suicide is often created for profit without consideration for the feelings of others. If spirits have unfinished business, perhaps they are trying to clear their name from the scandalous nature of these crimes. We don't consider ourselves history snobs, and we don't have a personal stake in this other than advocating for the deceased and their reputation, hoping to persuade many people to learn the truth, especially about the Lemp family. The truth often doesn't pay. Like most Ghost Adventures TV shows, it doesn't make the cut if it's not about demonic realms. Rich histories don't make people rich. Salacious lies keep the lights on. So what does this all mean? Why is it important to understand the true nature of the Lemp family? They were more than just a ghost story. They were a gateway family, the American dream. So Jeremy, I got a little like inspired there to do the music and the drops and the sound effects. And people are like, oh my God, what's going on with this radio show?
We're pros.
Well, we're trying to kind of build you into more of a, you know, a set of things that are going to be happening over the next couple weeks here with the Lemp series. And the Lemp series is kind of an interesting touch on the research that we've pulled for over 10 years, including some of the stuff that we've been doing recently. And what it really comes down to is the Lemp Mansion is a business. They're not really in charge of the ebb and flow of ghosts and all that stuff. They're doing a good job. They're keeping it alive. It's still open for the public. And we can't really say that a lot about mansions. We lost Misty Manor.
Yes, we did.
We're losing Bissell.
Probably.
McPike has been in disrepair for 10 years now.
Oh, no, decades.
Decades, but it's getting better, but they just don't have the funds to. I mean, you can walk in now and there's like a store.
Right. That's crazy because when I first went there, you could only go in the basement if a structural engineer was with you.
Right. Or because it was a condemned building, essentially.
Right.
And you were kind of responsible for your own health. McPike is actually in Alton, Illinois. We'll get into Alton, Illinois in the upcoming months. But for right now, I want to focus on the Lemp Mansion as a whole. Now, you've heard the history of haunted mansions and going back to the Roman eras and special effects through the Renaissance and
Pepper's
Egypt.
Ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. What's your take on it, man? I mean, the Lemp Mansion has a lot of stories, and we actually mentioned one with the throwing of the knives and stuff like that a while back. But We did our own homework, and I think that if we're going to do our due diligence, the first thing we need to know is who died in the house.
Oh, yeah. There's several people who we can confirm have died in the house.
Which a lot of people don't know about this. Now, we really can't confirm anything thus far from 1949 to up until the Pointers bought it in the mid-70s.
Right.
So for right now, what we can give you is some stuff that you have never read before, because no one's ever researched it before.
Nobody ever digs into this stuff.
Right, because they only care about the Lemps. But there was another family that was a part of the Lemps, and that was the Fikerts.
Yeah, Julia Lemp, her maiden name was Fikert. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people may, you know, the dates are all over the thing. I've seen everything from early 1860s to 1890. But we do know that both her mother and father died in Lemp Mansion in 1892. And it was just a couple of weeks apart.
Yeah.
In fact, her mom passes away. So her dad dies January 5th, 1892.
Correct.
Her mom dies January 21st, which is her dad's birthday.
1892. So about 2 weeks later, Julia would lose both her parents in the actual Lemp residence. These are the first two confirmed deaths in the house. Now, Jacob Fikert dies of bronchitis, which was a very ailing sickness that was going around St. Louis as we marched through a lot of the death certificates. You also have to understand, too, that when you receive a death certificate, pre-1900, really only rich people got those.
Truth.
Most people were just written in a book to account for them, and then they were thrown into a hole.
He's dead.
Yeah. So with this type of family, we were able to uncover a couple different things. A, the story of when and how Jacob and his wife Elizabeth were able to give William and Julia the house, which is known as the Lemp Mansion. Now, this is kind of a story that kind of ping-pongs back and forth. You will read 100 different things from 100 different websites. And so a part of our due diligence as historians is to be like, what actually happened? When was this house built? Well, it wasn't 1890 and it wasn't 1860. The best, to our knowledge as of right now, is 1885, based on the city guide.
Right.
We have Jacob Fikert, who's now semi-retired but still working at a saloon, which we consider the Lemp Saloon.
Yeah, it's the one that was down by the, was it the left leg of the arch?
Left leg. So you're at 2nd, it's 201 Market Street. So if you just took Market Street down to 2nd Street, that's kind of where that bar was.
Right.
And he's kind of managing that bar. And he was there for a very long time. The whole architect thing that comes up a lot.
We could never find anything about him being an architect.
Yeah. The only thing that we found at one point was Jacoby and Freikirk was the name of a business. And we couldn't really find and dig deep into anything like business.
What was it?
But back then, people knew how to build homes.
Right.
But this is 100%. A mansion. This is like different.
Well, I mean, it's four stories.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got vaults.
Right.
It's got, you know, like, and then you see the things about the different, like, I saw something that said 1884, the steam heat was added, and it's like 5 years after it was invented, but, like, we can't even confirm the house was there in 1884.
We can't. We can get to 1885, but prior to that, So what we did was, and part of the history is that, you know, if you're just getting started and researching and trying to do something on your own, or even if it's with this family and you actually know more about this Lemp Mansion and when it was built, please reach out to us at askus@hauntedgarage.net or DM us on the Haunted Garage at Instagram. We would love to know your feelings. We are not all assuming historians and we don't covet our work. Funny day today, we were actually 8 at the Lemp Mansion.
Yeah, we did.
And we ran into our old friend, Stephen Walker.
Who wrote The Lemp, A Haunting History.
Yeah, and just a shout out, I mean, I've done some presentations with Stephen Walker, and I honestly have to say that if you're going to read a book on Lemp,
that's the one.
It's his, because that's basically the birth of everything that's all-encompassing about the haunted history of the Lemp family. And he goes into detail, not so much about ghost, but he gives you a great synopsis of the Lemp family, the history, the house. And there is really no
salacious stuff going on in that book. There's really, he's not trying to tell you that, oh, this is haunted. Stephen Walker is actually one of the biggest skeptics we've ever met.
He doesn't believe in ghosts.
Yeah, and he's written two books on them. I think he finds it fascinating.
I think he's, you know, I don't know. Like, I know he doesn't believe because he told me that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think he doesn't, he's kind of one of those guys that kind of needs the evidence in front of him. Like, I think that's what makes him an objective writer, though, too.
It's like agnostic to it. Yeah. I don't think he's totally against it, but he hasn't seen anything that proves it.
Exactly. And if you haven't been to Lent Mansion to enjoy that Sunday dinner, it's great.
Oh, the fried chicken.
Yes.
The mac and cheese. And you know I love my mac and cheese. My mama's mac and cheese.
With the mom's mac. Okay.
Yep. Yep. It's there.
So the thing that I would tell you guys is, like, we still, me and Jeremy, support the hell out of the Lent Mansion. We support the only writer that we really support is Stephen Walker.
True.
I mean, everything else we've read from there either stole from him or added a lot of conjecture.
100%. There is some books that I've read that, like, I can highlight and go back to Stephen Walker's book and find it is directly taken from.
Absolutely. So when we return after the break, we're going to get into some of the ghosts that you might have heard of, but me and Jeremy are going to break down what actually might be haunting this place. So
facts.
Stay tuned.
There is no Welcome. Jesus here, priest.
Welcome back to Haunted Garage. We always give you a little snippet of The Exorcist. Done by Jeremy David King. We are talking Lent Mansion. We are talking Lent Mansion Ghost. We haven't really given you a full dive into the family. We promise the next episode will be something that you guys will kick back and listen to. You've probably heard it a bunch of times, and that, of course, is Zeke the Monkey Boy, which was made famous from Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
We actually ran into one of the hosts of Lent Mansion Tours, Betsy Ballinger, who we absolutely adore and love. I've given that tour with Betsy before. She is a pretty good medium at her own accord. She does a really cool dark room session. I didn't really get into talking to her. I think she's still doing it every Monday night, and it's really the only tour that we recommend. There is another tour there, just to give a shout out to Lent Mansion. We love supporting those guys because, like I said in the other segment, guys, we have got to support, as paranormalists, these places that are still open.
That, yes, if you don't support them, they go away.
Yeah, and the fact that these guys, Patty and Paul and Matt Bell, you know, the guys that we've kind of grown accustomed to and have helped us out tremendously with our own film, but, you know, they survived COVID.
Yeah, they did. And so many places just shut down.
Especially when we were driving down Cherokee. Well, one side of Cherokee still looks to be doing good. The other side of Cherokee has always been terrible. But, you know, slumlords, that's what happens.
Hey, now.
Yep. And, you know, speaking of slumlord, the Lent Brewery is falling down brick by brick. Maybe that other documentary filmmaker wants to make another film called Brick by Brick.
Except this one's brick by brick falling on people.
Exactly. And, you know, thank God there hasn't been a death or anything like that. But this is what happens when people that don't have investment opportunities and minds, like Paul Pointer, who basically saved the stables. He saved the Lent Mansion, saved the property around Lent Mansion.
Yep.
And he had a vision, and he hosts the weddings now, and he does stuff. We did a film festival there not too long ago. And I think that he used to sit on that board. And I'm talking about Paul Pointer. He's actually the owner of Lent Mansion. He sat on the board of the Lent Brewery. And at one point he was just like, you know what? I'm out. You don't have a vision, dude. Like, you don't know what you're doing.
They could have made that amazing. They're doing that with the Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee.
They really are.
They've turned the brewery into like a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they should have done with this place.
100%, Jeremy. I mean, like, that is everything. When we went to Milwaukee and visited our boy up there, Ryan Hickox, who actually works at Jacob's Best, right?
Yep.
So best place, got to go if you're in Milwaukee and you love Hams and Schlitz and Pabst. They're just some great beers. They're still brewing them. They're ice cold. You do the great tour. You learn a lot about how smart Pabst was with selling yeast and then saying, hey, you guys have yeast now. Make sure you don't make beer. And in order to not make beer, don't follow this recipe on the can.
Right. And they did so great with that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And so looking at Lemp and then looking at what Best Place was able to do, and then with the brewery becoming a hotel.
I mean, it looked amazing. We walked through it.
Yeah.
You know, and the Quaker Oats in Ohio, I think it's in Akron. I think it's closed now, but it was such a cool boutique hotel because they took the silos and made rooms out of them.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they're right there at the Limp.
Yeah. And I mean, Akron, I mean, where that is was so kind of like desolate and far away.
Yeah.
Limp had every opportunity. I mean, that was Paul's vision to do the shops. And can you imagine that being like the foundry?
I know. And like the foundry is, it kind of sucks.
It does. I mean, it's weird. It's like a warehouse, dude.
And Ballpark Village, you know, I love St. Louis. I love the Cardinals, but that Ballpark Village, I've been in there a few times and no.
No, I didn't. It's, you know who did it right though?
Who?
City. The St. Louis Soccer Stadium did it right.
I haven't been to that.
Oh, 100%. My boy Matt Seebeck out there, man, he's just a visionary, and they hired the right guy in that dude. They have awesome apps. They have the best St. Louis local food. It is a little expensive. It's a little pricey for soccer, but I'm sure that eventually will come down.
Right. They got to pay for the stadium.
Exactly. I mean, it is beautiful. If you haven't been to the soccer stadium and you have the opportunity to go, think about all the great food that's in South City and St. Louis and ask yourself, well, why ain't I coming to these a lot more? So not only do you get great entertainment, they have the Hooligans, which I've never been to a soccer game before, and just giving a little shout out to St. Louis here, but the Hooligans are pretty cool. I mean, they're just drumming like Vikings the whole game, and it is so cool and impactful. So if you haven't been, check it out. There are some cool things going on. And for us, I wish they would have done something with Lent Mansion. I know the guy that owns that place, for me, I have zero respect for. That tarp has been on there, and it's weather-beaten.
Okay? Right.
And the pictures are actually on our Instagram. If you want to see what we're talking about, I actually posted three pictures. Jeremy's probably
going to post. You said Lent Mansion, but what you mean is Lent Brewery.
Lent Brewery, yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah, Lent Mansion's great. But yeah, the brewery is just dilapidated. It is.
They had that one guy that set a fire in there.
Oh yeah, he's just crazy.
I mean, there's, you know, and why, if they had done this right, they could have a boutique hotel down there. They could actually reopen those caves to tours.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know, there's a ton of caves out there that they do tours in, but not one that I've been to that they brewed beer in.
Yeah.
And I've been down there.
Not to mention the cutout swimming pool and the old bowling alley and all these types of stage. I mean, there's...
in a theater.
Yeah. And we actually have the documentation that proves all of that, too. Like, this
100%.
This is amazing stuff that we're just... this guy is just pissing it away with a bunch of... you know, I don't even know. You're not even supposed to be living. If the fire department in St. Louis is listening, there are people living in those buildings, and you should probably check that out, because like the building falling on people, we don't want our people that are living there getting crushed either. So,
or being set on fire because there's no fire suppression in there, which is part of the problem with the whole deal.
That's the big problem.
They need fire suppression and tuck pointing.
Oh yeah,
that building wouldn't have fell if they had tuck pointed.
I can tell you right now, I don't even know if that building is salvageable.
No, I don't think it is at this point.
Yeah, they just need what they should have done a year ago now is take that brick down and put it in another historic city like New Orleans that is still trying to build from Katrina, believe it or not.
Right.
And try to, because they're a sister city. They got a lot of brick from us. That's what they should have done. But no, those tarps have been sitting on top of that. They're weather beaten. They're not even covering it.
How long ago? That section fell down like 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe longer.
Like, this is, what is the city doing? Like, do you want to help yourself, or do you want to just turn into a complete desolate Baltimore, Maryland?
Exactly. And it is kind of like a sick type of, I don't know. But anyway, we kind of got off topic here a little bit, but this is all the stuff that's going on around. And as far as like brewery ghost, we're not really knowledgeable about that. But what I would say is that when we dive into a place like Lent Mansion, there are a lot of stories that go around. And so before we take the next break, I would caution you guys too, to understand that the most, I guess, significant ghost there that people have reported seeing is the lady in white.
Correct.
And we know that that's not Lillian Hanlon, right? I think we explained that kind of in that cool dialogue that we did.
Everybody is like, oh, it's the Lavender Lady. She never lived there.
Never lived there. They lived across the street.
They lived in the Adam Limp right. mansion.
And that's a good point that you raise. Everybody always asks us, well, where's the Lent Mansion? Well, that is the Lent Mansion. That's where all the ghosts are. That's where the suicides happen. There was some weird conjecture going on for a while that's actually not the real Lent Mansion. It actually is the Lent Mansion when it is according it's just to not William.
It's not the Adam Limp Mansion, which was down further, sort of more straight across from the Dimmonill.
Yes. Right now it's like a steel building, a gray steel building.
Right.
And that would have been where Adam's house was. The old brewery actually burned down in 1929. This was the one, his residence and the brewery that Adam started in 1839-ish.
Right.
That brewery actually burned down too. But William had already moved it at that point.
Correct.
So really everything that resides from Adam Limp is gone. There is the copper kettle. That's actually in the museum you could check out.
Yes. And apparently one of the Deerbergs, of the grocery store, was the one who had it.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that weird?
That's awesome. I love the Adam Limp artifacts and stuff that are just still floating around. I mean, every now and then you'll catch some stuff on eBay. And it's like, man, how long have you been sitting on that, dude?
Truth.
Who do you think the white lady is, though? The lady in white lady? The lady in white.
So we have... There's several possibilities. So Julia Fikert Limp passed away in the house in 1906.
So that's the mom.
William Sr.'s wife.
Yep.
Her mother, Elizabeth Fikert, passed away in the house in
1892.
Yeah, 1892. I almost said 1992. And then
she was a basser for Nirvana.
So I mean, both of them died in the house.
You have two females that actually died in the house to the record. Now everybody always says, well, Frankie, what about the flop years? Well, there's not a lot out there, guys. We found an ad which was made me sick in my stomach.
Yeah.
But it was from 1955 and it's like old Lent Mansion apartment 7 is available for rent, and it's like, I don't know, $25 a week or something like that.
And the crazy thing is that's the first, you always heard the stories that it was like turned into a flop house. And that's the first like real confirmation that we found that it was like split up into little apartments.
Yeah. So the other thing too that you have to understand too is Lillian Hanlon actually lived. So Lillian Hanlon is the Lavender Lady. Sometimes you see her name and it's Lillian Lindbergh.
That doesn't make any sense.
She's Hanlon. Now, Billy did remarry. She never did.
Right.
Billy remarried Ellie Kohler, who her dad was also a brewer. So they had a lot more in common than Lillian's family.
Right.
So they were two very toxic people. Billy was nothing like his father.
No.
He was a polar opposite. I mean, when you really look at the snarky, snob, Napoleon complex, I wave a revolver at people because I'm, you know, a rich kid. Definitely Billy. Billy does not have any nice qualities.
I mean, I'm sure he did, you know, but out of the limps, he's the jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one, you know, in the divorce decree. You know, he was feeding birds to a pet monkey in front of his kid. An ape.
Yeah, which will play into the monkey boy.
Right.
There was chimpanzees in and around the house.
Yeah. And Edwin Limp basically started the St. Louis Zoo.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, and then there's all this stuff, you know, he'd lock her out of doors. He'd... threw her down the steps. And then another thing that I read that he actually kicked her out of the house. So yeah. When they divorced or when they separated, she was still living in Adam Lemp's house. He was living someplace else. I believe that was the Chase Park. And the way he kicked her out is the house was technically owned by the brewery.
Yeah.
And he was paying rent for her to live there. He stopped paying rent.
Yeah.
And the brewery evicted her.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about Adam's Villa is how it's known if you're looking that up and researching on your own when we return. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the break.
I did. It was a great time.
Can't wait to get our own sponsors so we can do that cool advertising that we like to do.
I like to do
it. Hey, you want to sponsor the show? Go ahead. Call the radio station.
Yep. We'd love to try your product.
We'll send a ghost your way. It'd be great.
Oh, with every sponsorship, a free haunting.
A free haunting?
But cannot guarantee hauntings will work.
Right. If sponsoring like the whole month, you know, you still have an opportunity. We have plenty of episodes about the Lemps. I mean, this is going to get a big crowd. And we can promise a possession if that was something that you're into.
Yeah, if you want a possession, we could probably make that happen.
Exactly.
Here, use this Ouija board.
Just don't pay your car payment for a couple months.
Oh, yeah, that's a repossession. They're going to take it twice.
So Lillian Hanlon was one of the most beautiful women in St. Louis. She's a fox.
Dude. I walked right out of my shoes.
So I guess when we get into the Billy story, and we're really going to go through each one of the kids and give them their due diligence, I would think that when you look at people like Lillian Hanlon, who never married and possibly had, I don't know, every guy wanting to marry her.
Oh, dude. You know, she to the point she is buried in the mausoleum. She wanted to be buried with, you know, William the Third, her son.
Yeah. I think that's more to the liking of it. Billy actually has both his wives in the mausoleum. So it's like,
maybe the mausoleum's haunted. I've heard of that type of haunting where there's like a wife, the man, and his mistress buried right next to each other.
Yeah. You're talking about the traveling tomb.
Yes.
Famous story.
Yeah.
Yeah. The roots kind of pushed the relationship that should have been together.
Right.
It's a crazy story. I want to say it was New Orleans that happened, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I think it's called The Traveling Tomb, and it's a very cool ghost story. Maybe we'll even do it on here, but we have our own ghost story to get ahead. Guys, this is St. Louis. In South City sits one of the most haunted places in America, still in the top 25. And it's open to the public. It's Lemp Mansion at 3322 South 13th Street, St. Louis, Missouri. And it's known...
Not South 13th. They changed the name.
To Damonelle.
Damonelle.
It'll always be Second Condolette for me.
That's it.
It's changed its name like six times.
I think at one point it was like Dirt Road Street.
Yeah.
Like it's had like 15 names.
Yeah. So the big names when the Lemps were active were Second Condolette. And then it went to South 13th Street.
Yep.
Which is funny that I said that because I guess I've been reading and trying to find that address for the flop house.
Yes.
Because it wasn't Damonelle Place yet, I don't think.
No. I think they changed the name of that when they saved the house.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, the saving of the Damonelle house is the reason that the Lemp Mansion's still there.
Yeah, there was no point in saving one and not the other.
And
we have Laclede Glass to save. That actually, Laclede Glass is the one that stepped up and said, "No, the highway isn't going to come in here and ruin these two homes,"
because Laclede's house had been destroyed.
Laclede's house. It's a parking lot. It's a parking lot right now that sits under a train.
Pave paradise and put in a parking lot.
Yep. Pave paradise, and it's just cute. I can't. We're on the radio. We could cue it if we were on any other show.
Right.
But we can't.
It's because we're not good at it.
No, it's because we don't have rights. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we're a paid programming.
Can I sing it?
Maybe not.
I don't know. Did we just get fired?
They're both still alive that sang the song, so be careful.
Oh, yeah, that was a Dave Matthews song.
No. Ooh.
Well, no, he covered it.
He covered it, too?
I think so.
I was thinking Counting Crows covered it.
Oh, maybe it was Counting Crows.
Yeah.
What's the girl that originally did it? It's like, man, I know, I can picture Joan Baez?
Joni Ives. No,
Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell. Joni Ives is the designer for Apple. when they made cool products, and then he left, and now their products are terrible. But anyway, way off subject. But yes, I mean, they paved over that and destroyed that. Amazing. Would that be amazing right now if we still had that home?
The LeClede home?
Yeah.
Talk about a founding, you know, founding family.
Oh, tattoo on my arm, man.
I know.
1764, baby.
Like, I don't know.
How do we not have his house?
It's because we just bulldozed everything.
Yeah. It's like, and for what? A parking lot that no one parks at because there's no reason to park there?
Right. It's like... we just need it for our auxiliary parking.
Is it haunted? Yeah, it's haunted by my aggression as to why you tore that house down. Lafayette was the same part in St. Charles. Yep. That was a beautiful home, and it stood for years, and nobody did anything with it. So, guys, it's important to support the stuff that we love. And how do you support it? Well, you find the ghosts, and you figure out who these ghosts are. And the next ghost on the list here is Shiny Shoes.
So the Shiny Shoes man... You know, and there's several possibilities of who this is.
Yes.
So 1892.
Jacob Feikert.
January 5th, Jacob Feikert dies.
Of bronchitis.
Which, I mean, I have lung damage from bronchitis, so, yeah. I mean, it's a thing.
Oh, it was almost a pandemic for a right. very long time. I mean, they didn't, TB too. I mean, tuberculosis right. is very similar. And then you had, of course, you can just go through the men who killed themselves in the house. Now, for me, I push back a little bit on William Lemp Sr. because I've read a lot about him. And I'm not, but once again, I don't know of any malevolent spirits in Lemp.
No.
I've no. never heard I've had about a that.
Several experiences in there. I wandered around the house by myself in the middle of the night, and I've never, you know, maybe jump scares type thing, but never really been like scared, or when I've seen something, it's not been like, oh my God, run, dude, run. But so you have Jacob Feikert. Yep. You obviously have William Sr., who, you know, I see your point, but I could also say at the same time, you know, he committed suicide, which is tragic.
Yes.
And he did it because he was mourning not only his son, but his best friend. Frederick. So there's a lot of like...
Colonel Frederick Pabst.
Right.
Yes.
So he's really... It's a lot of hurt.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that Julia Lemp would die in the same room as him.
Same bed.
2 years later.
Yeah.
In 1906. Well,
I mean, I hope they changed the sheets.
In 1906, Julia dies. But this is the man with shiny shoes. Of course, then you have Billy.
Billy, who 1922 in the front room on the left between the fireplace and the window.
And he was quite the dapper Dan.
True.
So, and then finally, you have the possibility of Shiny Shoes being Charles.
Charles. And yeah, I had an experience where I believe I saw Charles.
Yeah.
But that was up in the attic, I think in the Lewis Lemp suite.
And that's where Betsy Ballinger says Charles likes to be. From her standpoint, she's the closest to Charles. I think she sees Charles a lot. She also believes that Charles's dog haunts the place. Now, the story goes, and we could not find any supporting evidence for this. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's just when you're doing paranormal research, you really want to stick to the facts, and you really don't want to lead into any kind of conjecture, because now, once again, getting back to that pareidolia, I'm seeing dogs and stuff like that. So
right.
we don't have anything on it. We have the police report in front of us for Charles. We have the coroner's report in front of us for Charles. We don't even have anything...
We even have, they weren't witnesses, but he had two live-in servants yes. when he was living there. So Charles did actually live in the mansion when he got older.
Yes, and that was Albert Bittner.
And Miss Biddy's mom.
Yes, yeah, so there's an Irish bar, actually, Corner Irish Pub.
Right across the street from the Lemp Brewery.
So where the silos are. Yeah, so where the silos are, right on Cherokee, you'll see the Corner Irish Pub. That is owned by Mrs. Biddy. The Bittners, who took care of Charles, were her parents. That's how cool, that's how close the connection is. Miss Biddy's great. The bar is awesome. They do have the best chili.
The shepherd's pie is yes. legit, too.
Yeah, so check out
Conan. I'm always trying to. It's like legit IRS ploys.
It's, they have an IRA flag when you walk in. Yeah. So be careful the night you go there and watch.
Don't what talk
you
say. Bad about the Irish in there.
I would not. So that place is also very haunted. It's one of the most haunted places on that street.
And that was a limp bar.
It was
like a saloon.
It was a limp saloon.
So if you want to go and drink in an old limp saloon, there's the place.
Yeah, so what would happen is the brewers would get off work and they'd hop right over and spend their whole paycheck on what they just brewed.
I wonder why they all died of cirrhosis. No clue.
That is actually how Adam Lemp died. There is something that's going around. We'll get back to Shiny Shoes real quick. Adam Lemp did not die in 3322. He actually died in his own residence, which was down the street. It does not exist anymore. But he died of cirrhosis of the liver. There is a terrible tale that's out there by one of the worst ghost hunters in the area there. And I'm sorry, but it's just terrible.
Well, they also said he died in 1864. He died in 1862.
Yeah.
We have his death certificate. Well,
they also said he committed suicide.
Right.
Adam didn't commit suicide.
They're just trying to make more salaciousness around this family.
Right. And it's just like, you know, it's the same guy that's putting bugs in people's head about a hell's portal in the solarium where we ate lunch today.
Oh, man. I
enjoy
Satan totally, you know, was dragging my pants leg down.
I enjoy the croutons in my salad made by hell.
Yeah.
So just be careful when you're going out there. For me, Shiny Shoes is one of the coolest stories. And there's two stories that I know of. I don't know if you know of any others.
No, we know the same ones.
Okay, so it was a waitress. It was a server that actually worked there, and he was actually downstairs. And she was startled. She goes downstairs, and there's this guy sitting at the table. And she's like, man, we're not even open yet. But he's dapper. He has a cigarette lit. And what she can see is the back of his head. He has his legs crossed, and that shoe is kind of sticking out in the alley. And she notices that that's a really shiny shoe, like a nice patent leather type of tuxedo-esque shoe. And you have to remember, too, man, when these guys lived, it was an amazing time period. Everybody dressed up. They even dressed up to go to the ball games. So these guys were dapper, and so he's holding this cigarette, and he's got this, like, black suit on, and he has that shoe kind of sticking out. And so she walks up to him and asks him, hey, we don't really open until a couple another hours. Do you need anything? And at that point, he doesn't respond to her. I think at this point, she kind of backs away and realizes this is not a real person. As she turns back to him, he's gone.
I think, you know, the thing, and you had a similar experience like this, like he's smoking a cigarette in there. Mm-hmm. You weren't like, what the heck?
Yeah. I do think that story was later. I think it's not today. I think you could actually smoke in the restaurants back then.
Oh, probably.
Because we're old enough to remember that. We had smoking sections in Denny's.
Oh, man. My dad used to be like, I can remember like driving to Florida, and he's like, you know we're in the South because the non-smoking section's half the size of the smoking section.
It's the truth. So Shiny Shoes is pretty cool. There was another story of a guy that's using the restroom, and he's in the stall doing his business, and he sees a pair of shiny shoes standing underneath the stall and doesn't hear anything. The person doesn't say anything. And he's like, hey, man, I'm not getting here. And I guess the shoes kind of walk away. And then when he gets out, there's nobody in the bathroom.
And I will tell you what, I can't tell you how many times I've been to the mansion, but the bathroom door on the men's room, you can hear it in the front of the dining room.
Yeah.
It's so loud.
Especially there was a kid today just wrecking on it.
Oh, I was in there. What was that kid
doing? You heard it from like where you were.
Yeah, I totally heard it.
I was like, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. Like, stop.
Is this a toy? Anyway. Where are your parents?
That's the problem. So Shiny Shoes is a pretty cool one. The Lady in White, there's also some other stuff that disembodied voices are a big thing.
Yes.
In Lemp Mansion. That's always been a thing. So
yes.
We don't know who that is. There is speculation. So Charles was a Democrat, even though some people pointed to the Lemps as being staunch Republicans. He was a Democrat. I don't know about the rest of the family. I would think yes, because of capitalism and money and stuff like that and small government.
But back then, Democrat wasn't the same as it is today. I think everybody back then was for small government. And
yeah, they should call it Democrats now the Zebra Party because they're so, they should all be in stripes, in my opinion. Anyway.
But
so with this, I think that he was quite political, Charles.
Yeah, he actually tried to run for the Senate and went for the nomination, and he lost 67-7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's the one, because that's the story, is that it's Charles that said these damn Democrats. Well, maybe he was kind of ticked off. He didn't get the nomination.
It's possible. So, I mean, there's that one. Sometimes people hear their name being called.
Yes, that's always, that's, you know what? That's very unnerving, is hearing your name. Like, I've had that happen several times. It's, that's one of the scarier things to have happen.
Yes.
Like, I had it happen upstairs in the attic before it was totally finished. And when you go all the way up the steps, there is a room straight ahead of you that is like a mechanical room. And I stuck my head in there, and I heard my name, and I went back down the steps. And the crazy thing is, I heard footsteps behind me as I'm going down fairly quickly. Oof. Which, those steps, you can't go very fast on.
No, it spirals.
And I remember I was like, if you don't get out of my way, I'm putting footprints on your back.
The thing about Lent Mansion is that everybody normally gets some interesting experiences. When I had some coworkers in town and they found out that I was in the paranormal and I just happened to be doing the tour at Lent Mansion with Betsy that night, I invited them to come with me, and actually they heard a disembodied voice. And Gabby still talks about that to this day. She was in the office not too long ago. She actually works in Jersey. So when she comes into the office, it's pretty interesting because you still remember. It's the second one I was telling you, man. Like, these things stay with you forever.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lent Mansion is not short on haunts. But the cool thing about Lent Mansion, though, is how they set up their stuff. Now, they have the tour now with the infrared cameras. The problem with those tours, though, is, like, there's going to be a lot of people, and we talked about that.
Right.
And so I think the best bang for your buck, if you are in the St. Louis area, is to stay the night. They lock you in, guys.
Heck yes.
They lock we've you done inside. It. Yeah, we've done it a couple times.
You know, the funny time was the time that y'all was sleeping in the bed. Mm-hmm. There were like three of you in the bed.
Yes.
The lights are on. I'm wandering around the house by myself, and I go into the basement, and I walk into the stage room, and I come face to face with somebody, and it scared the heck out of me. And they were real. We didn't know anybody else was in there. There was a couple that were staying there. And I walked in. I scared them way worse than they scared me.
And they were like.
So I kind of gave them a tour of the place because they had never been there. They had heard about it. So, and me being there dozens upon dozens of times. So I gave them a tour, and it was fun.
Yeah, so we got about 30 seconds left in this first of the LEMP series. These episodes are going to get a little bit more concise and outlined because we really are going to give you guys a lot of information to take in. You're going to learn all about the family. You're going to learn about who the family was. You're going to learn about who might be haunting this. I think we went through the LEMP mansion, but this series is really meant to give you guys an insight into the actual truth of what happened as the facts stated. This is not conjecture. And part of this whole leap of what me and Jeremy are trying to do is to give you guys accurate information about the LEMP family, because that is important to us. So from all of us here at the Haunted Garage, I'm Frankie.
And I'm Jeremy.
We'll be seeing you.